Well, when I was a young boy in elementary school, I've said this before, I'm up there in age a little. We didn't have video games, so we had to make games up. And one of the popular games on our school playground was Follow the Leader. I don't know if you need instructions on how to play this game, but essentially what you did was follow the leader. There was a line of kids, and the first kid would do something, and then the next kid in line would follow, and you would try to get the kids behind you out by doing increasingly outlandish, difficult, and even dangerous things. If they broke a leg, they were out, right? You jump off the jungle gym, you jump farther than they can, you run faster, whatever it was, and that was fun. That's what we did at recess. We are all followers, and we may not realize it. You might be saying to me, Dan, I am a leader. My mom told me I was a leader when I was young, and I said, I'm going to do what my mom said the rest of my life, right? We are followers. We like following reviews online, right? There's Google reviews. Did you know that they review churches? Some of you have reviewed our church. Hopefully you gave us a good score. But I thought I would read some Google reviews of churches. Would you like that? I'm going to do it anyway because I'm leading this morning. So here is one. It was a one-star reviewed. I got bored quick. Worship wasn't great, and the message was too monotone and screamy. That deserves 5 stars alone. How can you be monotone and screamy at the same time? Here's one. They got 4 stars instead of 5. I took 1 star away because they didn't have worship after the message. Here's another one. 1 star. Worship leader looks like he just got done mowing the yard. Thank goodness Jared does not look like that, but I have seen some worship leaders that did. We like to follow people. We like to follow musicians, right? And do we have any Swifties in here? Yeah, we got Swifties. I saw some hands go up. You're a Swiftie. Taylor Swift, if you know her and you know a lot of her songs, you watch the Eras Tour. How many people watch the Eras Tour? Come on, I watch the Eras Tour. That's good. It's good stuff. You know, she's dating Travis Kelce of the Chiefs. Did you know that? Yes. Fortunately for Travis Kelce, because he was nothing before she came along. Yeah, she has really helped boost his career. He even won a Super Bowl because of her. It's awesome. So yes, we follow people. We love following different people. And sometimes it's for practical reasons, right? Maybe you follow some people online because maybe they're good at building things. Like I like building things. So maybe you learn how to build things, you know, with wood or whatever. Or maybe it's singing, or maybe it's making dresses or whatever it is you do. We like to follow people because they're either providing some sort of value to us, or maybe we're learning something, or they're entertaining to us. But we are followers. All of us. Say, I'm a follower. If you didn't say that, you're not a follower. Sorry, you'll get that later. Anyway, we are followers, and Jesus knows that. And that's one of the reasons why he calls us sheep. He compares us to sheep. And it is a little insulting in some ways because sheep are pretty stupid. They're great at following, though. They're super good at following. I was reading a story about some sheep in Turkey. There was a massive flock of sheep, almost 2,000 sheep, that followed one sheep off of a cliff, and all of them went over after. 400 of the sheep died. The only reason all of them didn't die is because the sheep that were dead cushioned the other ones that were falling on top of them. We're followers, and Jesus compares us to sheep. And we follow sometimes things we shouldn't follow. We follow people that lead us astray. Sometimes we put all our hope in somebody we're following. We follow political parties and political leaders. And I don't know if you know this or not, but every single kingdom in all of history has ended at some point or another. I'm not advocating that our kingdom ends. I'm just saying that's the nature of things in the world we live in, because the people we follow will eventually let us down. It doesn't matter if it's a husband or a wife or somebody you care about. we are not perfect, and therefore there will be a point in time where we are let down. There is only one person in history that claims to be worthy of following that will never let you down, and that is Jesus. And we are in a series called Building a Better You for a Brighter Future. And I don't know what better thing we could do in our lives than follow someone who has said he is worthy of being followed. Let's see what he says. Go ahead and pull out your notes. Let's see what he says in Matthew chapter 4, verses 19 and 20. Jesus called out to them. These were some people that were busy doing their lives, their livelihood. He called out to them, these two guys, and said, "Come follow me and I will show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets at once and followed him. Now, this was a story about Peter and Andrew. It was the very first "come follow me." It was a very common phrase that Jesus used throughout his ministry. He had no qualms in doing it. And you think about it, it's kind of audacious to say to somebody, "Follow me," to have that much confidence that you can put your life in my hands. Because these men left their livelihoods, they left their security, they left their comfort zones, their know-how, their expertise, and began to follow somebody they weren't 100% sure about. They knew enough about him to have confidence in him, but they didn't know exactly where he was taking them, but they left anyway. And we're going to talk today about three different keys to following Jesus. Number one in your notes: when I'm following Jesus for a brighter future, number one, I need realistic expectations to help me avoid discouragement. Realistic expectations will help me avoid discouragement. And that's something we all face in life. We all meet discouragement at times, but I'm going to say to you, it's almost always because of expectations. So if I pay a lot of money for a pair of shoes, which I did, I got some brand new Hokas, I at least want the quality of these shoes to last for a while and to get lots of compliments on them. One or the other, right? If they fail quickly, if the quality isn't there, I'm going to be discouraged. If I decide I want to go on a vacation, spend thousands of dollars, and it's a bust and I hate it, I'm going to be very discouraged. If I fall in love and marry someone and spend the rest of my life with them and I don't live happily ever after, or we don't live together at all for some reason, I will be devastated because my expectations are high that I will be satisfied by making this choice, by following this direction. And so discouragement comes when our expectations are not met. And I think it's dangerous when we get into the world, the spiritual world, and especially when it comes to following Jesus, when our expectations are something that we should not have, they're unrealistic. A lot of times, people begin following Christ, and you will find that they walk away later, and it has to do with the fact that Jesus didn't meet their expectations. Now, they may not say it like that. They may say something like, "I was disappointed in other people. I couldn't believe how Christians act. They were all hypocritical. I didn't know God would allow me to go through this kind of pain." You may hear all kinds of different reasons, but the fact is their expectations for Jesus were not met. So here, let's see what the Bible has to say. The wisest man in the Old Testament, Solomon, says this in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Many of you are familiar with this. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take." Now, this sounds good, and some of you probably have this little plaque at home on your wall. It's inspirational. I get it. But trust me, I think most of us struggle with this more than we realize, because there is going to come a point in time in our lives when we just don't understand the circumstances that we're facing. Why is this happening to me? And it's in those moments when we are tempted to lean on our own understanding and try and make sense of a world that doesn't make sense to us. Now, I know a lot of you have a lot of understanding about a lot of things. Maybe the world you work in you know about, or you're a great parent, you know about parenting or relationships. Whatever it is you're an expert on and you have a lot of understanding on, trust me, whatever can be known about that subject, you are scratching the surface. There's a reason why we need to follow God, not based on what we see and understand, but based on who He is. Because He is going to light our path. He has our best interest in mind in a world that doesn't make sense. Many years ago, I went on a walk and I had, or a kind of a hike, and I had a little day pack, and in my pack, I had things I like to take with me on my hike. So there's a little flashlight in there, you know, I put my bottle of water in there, and you know, just some other things that I might need along the way, a little candy bar or something. Anyway, I decided to go on this hike maybe a little bit too late in the evening, and it was still light though, and I thought it was about a 4.5 mile hike, and I thought I could make it all the way around. This was up in Grass Valley area. So I go on this hike, and I get to the top of the hill, and it's beautiful, and that's where I wanted to go and see the beautiful sunset. And I thought, ooh, I gotta hurry back. And I knew that the trail looped around, and there was a shortcut, so I thought, I'll take this shortcut. I was pretty sure it led to the trail, and it would get me back to my car before it got dark. Well, I went on the trail, and what I ended up doing is going on a longer loop. I got myself lost. And as it got slowly darker and darker, I went in my backpack, and I got my flashlight out, and as soon as I turned it on, I realized, oh, I forgot to check the batteries. They were working, but not very much, very dim, and it got darker and darker. And then I remembered, as I was going back, and now it was dark, I remember seeing a sign saying, watch for mountain lions. And at the same time, I remembered, they like to hunt right about now. And so I got my flashlight, and at night, in the dark, in the mountains, on a trail, I don't know if you know this, but your sense of hearing is heightened. So everything, every crunch I knew was a mountain lion. And so I would hold my flashlight and I would walk along the trail, and then every once in a while I would stop and I would flash it around and I would try and walk forward, but there was sticks and rocks and roots and all kinds of things on the trail. And if I didn't hold the flashlight down on the trail, I would trip and fall. So I had to keep pointing the light on the trail and trust that whatever was going on around me, I would be okay. And as I got, I knew I was about a mile from my car. All of a sudden, I heard this roar, 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 and I hold my flashlight straight in front of me, and there's these two huge dogs right in the middle of the trail. And so I did what any normal person would do. I went, ah, and I ran at them, and they took off. And so my heart was racing, and I went as fast as I could all the way down to the end of the trail. Anyway, I remember telling this story to a friend of mine later, and he said, you know, mountain lions don't like dogs. And I was wondering, like, I wonder if there was a mountain lion up there and God sent a couple dogs to protect me. The point is, that's our life. The amount that we can understand is about what a dim flashlight that we can hold pointing to the trail in front of us. And we get derailed when we try to understand the mixed up crazy world and circumstances that we face. And so if we want to follow Jesus, the first thing we have to understand is we won't understand everything. The point is to follow Him based on who He is, not on what we're going through right now. Later in Mark chapter 8, Jesus said this to the disciples about following Him. He said, calling the crowd to join his disciples, he said, anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You're not in the driver's seat. I am. Don't run from suffering. Embrace it. Follow me, and I will show you how. I love how the Message version says, he's in the driver's seat. Jesus is in the driver's seat, right? You know the song, Jesus, take the wheel, you know. Since when did Jesus become our designated driver, right? He's saying, I'm not in the passenger seat until you need me. I'm in the driver's seat. You're the passenger. Jesus is saying, if you want to follow me, you have to allow me to be in the driver's seat. And following that, interestingly, he says, don't run from suffering. Embrace it. In other words, what he says is a life of following Jesus means there's going to be suffering encountered. It's a given. If your expectations are, if somebody told you, accept Jesus and all your problems will go away, then they lied to you. Your problems often get worse, and I'll tell you why. This was so wise of Jesus. Number one, suffering will happen in a broken world. It is unavoidable. I don't care if you're a Christian, an atheist, a Muslim. It doesn't matter what you are, suffering happens. And so for someone to say you won't suffer is unrealistic, but everybody suffers. But here's something about suffering that's powerful. Suffering can transform us. Suffering can change our perspective. Suffering can teach us to trust. Suffering can teach us patience and endurance. And in this life, suffering prepares us for a life to come. This isn't the end-all be-all, folks, just so you know. The few years we have on this planet is not all God has in store for us, and suffering has a role to play in our lives. And it either can break us or it can cause us to trust Christ even more. So, number one, we want to make sure our expectations are in line. When following Jesus for a brighter tomorrow, number two, I need to be careful that my motives don't derail my actions. My motives don't derail my actions. Let me tell you what I mean by that. We all have actions we take, things we do. And there's a motive behind all of it. But sometimes the things we do might be for ulterior motives. You might have experienced this in your life. Like maybe there's somebody at your workplace that's super helpful. And then you find out later, really all they want to do is climb the corporate ladder and become your boss, right? Or someone wants to be your friend, and when they're your friend, all of a sudden they take advantage of you. There's all kinds of people in the world that want to take advantage of us or want to hurt us or want to, you know, overrule us. But it's because they have ulterior motives. And we have motives. And it's important to check our motives so that what we're doing isn't in vain. Because all of us want to live a good life. I've never met anybody that's aspiring to a bad life. Ever. And everybody wants a better life for themselves. It doesn't matter if you're homeless or in a mansion. Everybody wants to be in a better place than they are. So it's important to think about our motives, and God cares about our motives a lot, because the direction of your heart is where your actions eventually take you. Even if you're doing things that are seemingly good, your motives will eventually shine who you are to others. It says this in Matthew 7, verses 21 to 24. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. That's kind of a harsh thing to think about. There are people that are thinking they're following God by just saying, Lord, Lord. But he says, not everybody who says that will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. Hang on just a second there before we go on to the next thing. Jesus said in John chapter 6, he said that the will of God is to believe in his son who he has sent. I mean, really what God wants from us is to follow and trust him. That's what following him is all about. It's just putting your trust in him, not in your own circumstances. Let's go ahead and go on to the next one. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name, we cast out demons in your name, and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. The key thought in there is, I never knew you. You can't follow someone you don't know. You can't. You can look at somebody from a distance and try and emulate who they are. But back in Jesus' day, the way people learned is they did life together. When Jesus said, come follow me, he was inviting the disciples and whoever wanted to come spend time with him. They saw what he talked about during the day. They saw how he acted. They saw how he treated people. They saw the ministries and the miracles. And ultimately, they became more and more and more like him. So you can't do great things in life if you detach yourself from the God who wants to do great things in you, but he does it through a relationship. That's how it works. So how is it we can know what we're supposed to be doing? is to just draw closer to Jesus, right? It's that simple. You don't have to go to any specific church. Get your Bible out. Start reading about Jesus. Start reading about how much he cares about you. That's how I came to Christ. I grew up in a home. I never went to church. And one day someone dropped a Bible off at my house. I picked it up. It was a New Testament. I picked it up. I started reading it. And I can't tell you how the words of Jesus impacted me. There weren't words for it. It's just, it warmed my heart. I didn't know what it was about him, but I knew he was true. I knew he cared about me. I knew that what the words he was saying were real and I could trust them. Get into the Bible, take some time, read the words of Jesus, get to know who he is. Secondly, spend some time with people who love Jesus. You can kind of tell who they are. They're sometimes a little annoying. So we come to church together. This is so important for growing and helping us follow Jesus. Spend some time talking to him during the day. You don't have to be elaborate and say things in thou and thine and all. Just talk to God. Lord, I'm so frustrated right now. Help me. Just talk to him more and more and more. Sprinkle it throughout your day. That's what it's like to follow Jesus. It's just getting to know him over time. So one of the things we need to watch for is when we are doing things for God is just to watch for hypocrisy. Sometimes there's a motive in our heart to do something good, and usually over the long haul, it begins to take over our life and then leads us in a completely different direction. I was reading a story this week about it's a very sad story, about a pastor of a mega church, a massive church, like 12,000 people or more. Anyway, he left his faith. He walked away completely. And a lot of it had to do with the fact that I think all his life he wanted to be a pastor. And then when he got into the role of being a pastor, it was just really, really hard for him. And I think some of the things he wanted out of being a pastor didn't come to pass. And he ended up walking away. I think he wrote a book like By Jesus or something like that. There's a very sad story in the Bible as well about someone similar to that. I'm not sure, 100% sure where this guy ended up, but his name is Demas. It's found in Colossians 4:14. It says this: Dear Dr. Luke sends his love, and so does Demas. So Demas started out working with Paul. He was going around doing missions work. He was supporting Paul's work, bringing the good news of Jesus to different places. And he had gone at one point to Rome, and Paul was there for 4 years. So Demas probably was there for a long time, because this passage was written 4 years before the next passage I'm about to read. So this is the next thing he says in the Bible about Demas. Timothy, please come as soon as you can. Demas has deserted me because he loves the things of this life and has gone to Thessalonica. Christians has gone to Galatia, and Titus has gone to Dalmatia. That's kind of a harsh rebuke to be said about yourself. I would hate for someone to say that about me. But just to defend Demas here a little bit, I've definitely done what he's done. There's been times where I've been following Jesus and I was disappointed by what was happening. My motives weren't right and I was frustrated with God. And I don't know what Demas was going through, and we're not told if he ever comes back. We don't know his story. All we know is whatever was going on in his heart eventually bore fruit and he walked away. If you want to follow Jesus, you got to make sure your expectations are in line. You got to make sure your motives are right. Here's a couple things you can ask yourself when you're doing things, quote, for Jesus. Number one, do you take credit for what God has done? Do you ever take credit, or do you like to give God credit? I'm always careful to say when God does something good, you know, thank you, Lord. Thank you for doing that. Even if I did a lot of effort, because I trust that God was in it somehow. I love it when basketball players, you know, make the final shot, or they make a shot and they go, you know, thank you, Jesus, right? And I'm grateful they don't go when they miss. But give God credit. Give God credit for the good things that are going on in your life. If you're not, it might indicate your motives are off. Is my decision based on how I will look to others? Are you serving or doing things based on what other people expect or how you look? Are you a good, pious person? Am I doing this to be seen? If you're giving to be seen or doing things to be seen, your motives are off. Are you a humble bragger? You guys know what humble bragging is? Don't you just hate it when your Rolls Royce breaks down right before your appointment, you know, and you're late? So, how do you handle constructive feedback? Are you angry? Are you frustrated when somebody gives you feedback that might be a little bit negative? It could be that your motive is, you know, to be thought of as awesome and great. We all need encouragement and support, but we need to make sure that our motives, the things that we're doing, are not based on something we want and we're doing it for Him. The final thing when following Jesus for a brighter tomorrow is, I invest my hope in Him for a future, or a long-term gain, not myself, to avoid short-term pain. We all don't like short-term pain. There's this thing in investing. There's a fear that is well known in investing. When you're investing in something, it can go up 10 times as much, or it can lose a tenth as much. So something that loses this much affects you emotionally as much as something that gains this much. We are kind of fear-based people. So often what we want is short-term gain. And so we'll often do things that will benefit us in the short term. So we have to make sure we're watching out for this when we're following Jesus, because that is a long-term plan. It's a long-term gain when it comes to following Jesus. There's not always the instant gratification we want when we're following Jesus. In fact, sometimes we're going to have, like I said before, we're going to have more pain in the short term because of something Jesus is doing in our lives. Has anybody ever had something that they discovered about themselves that was less than flattering? Anybody here? Yes, okay, good. I appreciate your honesty. Thank you very much. It's funny, I was talking to somebody the other day about, I love personality tests and things like that. And what my personality, there's Enneagrams and other things, but I like achieving things. I like seeing success. But one of the other things about my personality is I'm okay, or I used to be okay with the appearance of success, which is really deception. So as long as I look successful, really that's all about image. One of the best things that ever happened to me was a massive failure in my life that I couldn't hide. When I went through a divorce, like I was broken, I was obviously a mess, I didn't know what I was doing. And it was one of the most freeing things I ever experienced, because I realized, oh yeah, I'm a mess, and Jesus needs to begin working on me. And it's painful to have Jesus to begin to change you, because you come up against yourself, you come up against your own failings, and you realize, oh, I've got to change this. There are some things in our lives that Jesus is going to ask you to do. They're extraordinarily painful to you, but every single one of them is for your best. Jesus says this in Luke 6, 46 to 49 says, "So why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say?" It doesn't make sense. I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. It's like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. When the floodwaters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it is well built. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house right on the ground without a foundation. And when the floods sweep down against that house, it will collapse into a heap of ruins. There is a wisdom in following the words of Jesus, really trusting the words of Jesus when you're building your life. Because when you build your life and storms come, if you've done it based on what God's doing in your life, what He's leading you to do, your foundation is going to be secure. I recently saw the pictures of these houses in Dana Point. I don't know if, I think it was earlier this year, the waves came up and just were creating all these huge landslides. I mean, these were beautiful homes, multi-million dollar homes overlooking the ocean. But as soon as the storms came, the earth beneath them began to give way. And that's what tests our lives and how we've been following. That's it. There's a test coming to all of us. And the test is the storms of life. And if you've been following Jesus, you're going to feel anchored. I've seen the same circumstances in two different people's lives. Things like cancer and divorce and all kinds of difficulties. I've seen the same two kinds of circumstances in different people's lives. And one person walks away. They say, I'm done with this. Like, God hasn't done anything for me. And I've seen somebody else draw even closer to Jesus through it. We want to make sure we can weather the storms of life, but it only comes from following Jesus. I'm going to leave you with this final passage because I love how real this is about what it means to follow Jesus. Then Peter chimed in, we left everything and followed you. What do we get out of it? I just love that honest. That's what I want to know. I followed you. What do I get out of it? Jesus replied, yes, you have followed me. In the recreation of the world, when the Son of Man will rule gloriously, you who have followed me will also rule, starting with the 12 tribes of Israel. And not only you, but anyone, that's us, who sacrifices home or family or fields or whatever because of me, will get it all back 100 times over, not to mention the considerable bonus of eternal life. This is the great reversal. Many of the first will end up last and the last first. You see, in God's economy, it feels sometimes like following Jesus is making a massive sacrifice that we're losing. But the way he looks at it is, any sacrifice we make is a massive gain for us in the future. It's compound interest in the future. It's investing in eternity. So when we're following Jesus now and we get into eternity, Jesus says, yeah, you gave up this, but you get all of this in return. See, none of us are really giving up as much as we realize. And if we want to hold on to things and we want to do things our own way, that's our choice. It's okay. You can do that. It's your life. But if you want to reap the massive rewards of following Jesus, you got to just begin to start trusting him. Look at your motives. Stop expecting your life to be perfect and just commit to following him and taking the next step and the next step and the next step. And you know what? It's hard. That's why Peter said this. He had doubts. He was thinking, I've given up everything to follow you. He's wondering, have I made the right decision? And Jesus says, yes, you have. Give up the struggle. Stop fighting. Just start following. Yeah. You know, when I was younger, I was in Boy Scouts in high school, and you would get merit badges as you earned different ranks. And so you did things like leather craft, and I made a belt, and you do botany, and you know, I could identify plants, things like that. One of the badges I had to get for the higher ranks was life-saving, and I wasn't looking forward to it because it was a super hard merit badge. So you had to learn all about CPR, bandaging people, and blood, and all that kind of stuff. And one of the things you had to do was you had to learn how to rescue somebody who was drowning without those little flotation devices. So you were the flotation device. So you had to swim out to the person and bring them back in. And there's something you probably would realize about a drowning person is when you're coming to them, you are the flotation device. They're going to push you down to try and save themselves. And that freaked me out because I didn't want to be grabbed by somebody and pushed down. And so the people that were our volunteers in the water that were drowning had to act out and do everything a normal drowning person would do and to try and take you down. So what they instructed us to do is when you're swimming up to somebody to try and save them who's drowning, when you get not too close to them, but close enough where you can go underwater, you go underwater and you go around behind them. And when you come up, you crawl up their back and you grab them around their head, and they will often thrash, and they did in our trials. They would turn over and spin us around, and you'd have to hold your breath. But eventually, they give up their strength, and they just give in. And when they do that, you can finally begin swimming and bringing them to shore, and they can just relax and float. I feel like a lot of times, that's our life when Jesus is trying to rescue us. He's trying to help us. He's trying to get us to help us to follow him and we're thrashing and we're fighting and we're frustrated and we're so busy with life. We're so busy thinking about all the things we have to do, checking off our lists. The first thing we think of with any problem that comes along is, what do I need to do? Without consulting Him. And if we could just get in the habit of stopping the struggle and going to Him first, and I'm preaching to myself as much as anybody else in this room, if we go to Him first, we might find that it's a lot easier to see the path in front of us and see the next step that Jesus wants us to take. And I don't know where you are on your journey. Some of you have been doing this a long time. Your flashlight's got fresh batteries. You're feeling great. Some of you are just starting out and you understand the struggle I'm talking about. Maybe some of you never have really even started that journey. I'm here to tell you, you can trust Him. There is nobody more trustworthy on earth than Jesus, the one who came to earth, who proved He was who He said He was, who gave His life on the cross for you, rose again on the third day to prove that He had the authority to say what He was saying and to call you to follow Him. And if you want to start following Him today, you can. And I want to encourage you to do so. Let's go ahead and pray and close this morning. Father God, we are so grateful that following You, although it is hard at times, although we don't know what's going to happen, there's a lack of understanding on our part sometimes, we're just grateful we can trust You in the process. When the world is not going our way, we can trust You to light our path and to lead us. So I just pray for everyone in this room. I know there are people right now that are struggling, that have been struggling to just give up and follow You. And I just pray they'd be able to give it up right now. Maybe their hearts are racing and they're just feeling drawn to just give up all the struggles they've been taking on themselves right now and just ask You to help lead them and guide them. I know others are maybe starting a journey, and today's the day, and they know they just need to stop doing things themselves in their life and trust You with their lives. They don't maybe know what their future is, but they know if they trust You, You will guide them, but also You will give them an eternity, a promise, the same one You gave to Peter. And so I just pray for them right now to just lay whatever it is behind them and just take a step of faith going forward. And Lord, help us all as a church to stop putting our trust in the here and now, political leaders and influencers or whoever it is we've been following, and just make Jesus the number one person we follow in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.